Misty Copeland taking the ballet world by storm, against all odds. Page 117. The world of classical ballet has been predominantly white, with only a few dancers of different racial backgrounds. Those who have been able to enter the ballet world have been few and far between, especially when it comes to the top-notch positions of solo dancers. This is especially true when it comes to the role of the principal dancer. The ballet dancer Misty Copeland is breaking the barrier for black ballet dancers by taking the center stage. She was appointed the principal dancer for the American Ballet Theatre in June 2015, thereby being the first African-American dancer to reach such honors in the American Ballet Theatre. Let's look at how Misty Copeland achieved her center stage in American ballet. Wrong side of the tracks. Misty Copeland is, in so many ways, the embodiment of the American dream. She did not seem to have many prospects when she was a child in San Pedro, California. She was one of six children and raised by her divorced mother. They were constantly on the move until the family settled down in a motel in Gardena, where they all had to live in only two rooms. In America, people often talk about living on the wrong side of the tracks, meaning you live in the poor part of town, the part that is divided from the better part by the railroad tracks. Misty's story is a story of a girl from the wrong side of the tracks who makes it against all odds. Hard work pays off. When Misty was 13 years old, a teacher suggested she should enroll in an after-school program in ballet. The ballet instructor, Cindy Bradley, noticed Misty immediately and realized that this young girl had immense potential, even though she had never studied ballet. You can just imagine how big an impression Misty made, because for most, starting at 13 is very late, if not too late. At this time, Misty had not even heard classical music, and everything about the ballet world was alien to her, except for the fact that she loved it, more than she had ever loved anything in her life. She took lessons during the day and during the evening. She worked relentlessly to make up for lost time. Ballet is an extremely difficult job, and it takes a lot out of you physically, but it's just as much about mental discipline. Some people don't last because they don't have it in them, but to move up, you have to have that focus and you have to love what you do. There's no way you could do this if you didn't. Misty Copeland. All that hard work paid off. In only 3 months, she was dancing on her toes, a feat that takes most ballet dancers 3 years to master. But all this training meant that she didn't spend much time with her family, and one day her mother called Cindy Bradley and told her to bring Misty home, because all these ballet lessons were too much. However, that same evening, Cindy went back to the motel and convinced Misty's mother to let her stay with her so she could use the time practicing. The court case. Misty lived with Cindy and her family for 3 years and practiced her art. She started getting noticed and winning awards. Her mother thought she was losing her daughter and wanted her to come back. Misty felt that if she moved back home, her future in ballet would end. She didn't want this to happen. So she decided to try and get legal independence from her mother. The court case caught the attention of the local media, and not in a good way. Misty was sensitive, and after 2 months, she just couldn't continue this fight, dropped the lawsuit and moved in with her mother and siblings. Even up to this day, she gets very sad thinking about this difficult time. Thankfully for the ballet world, Misty would bounce back. The following year, she got the opportunity to go to a ballet summer workshop in New York, and that's when she got her big break. Making history. The director of the American Ballet Theatre, Kevin McKenzie, noticed her and recognised in her all the qualities that make a great ballet dancer. In September 2000, he signed her as a dancer for the company. In 2007, she became a soloist for the company, and in June 2015, she reached the highest goal a ballet dancer can achieve when she was promoted to be the principal dancer in the company. This made her the first African-American female dancer to hold that position in the 75-year history of the American Ballet Theatre. Today, her career in ballet is blossoming, and she has been branching out into other areas. She co-wrote a best-selling biography and has published the children's book Firebird. She has won multiple awards, and President Obama appointed her to the President's Council of Fitness, Sport and Nutrition in 2014. She has come a long way from the rundown motel in Gardena, California. The future looks bright for Misty Copeland. I had moments of doubting myself and wanting to quit because I didn't know that there would be a future for an African-American woman to make it to this level. At the same time, it made me so hungry to push through, to carry the next generation. So it's not me up here, it's everyone that came before me that got me to this position. Misty Copeland in the New York Times, 1st of July 2015. Endorsements and the video that went viral. Misty Copeland has had endorsement deals with Coach and American Express, as well as having her own calendar in 2013. She really caught the eye of a different crowd than her normal ballet enthusiasts when she starred in the video campaign I Will What I Want for Under Armour. The video went viral and got more than 8 million hits in a few weeks. Furthermore, the musician Prince got her to appear at one of his concerts as a dancer, and she was a guest judge on the popular TV show So You Think You Can Dance. The image of the ballerina and the question of weight. The traditional image of the ballerina is that she is white like porcelain, petite and very thin. Because of this image, it has been a struggle for many more athletically built women to enter the world of ballet. Even the ballet star Misty Copeland has had doubts about her own body because she is more athletic and muscular than many ballerinas. One sugar plum too many. In November 2010, the New York Times ballet critic Alistair McCauley wrote in his review of the New York City's ballet production of The Nutcracker that Jennifer Ringer, as the sugar plum fairy, looked as if she'd eaten one sugar plum too many. This remark caused an uproar online over female body types, fat shaming, and a lot of people came to Ringer's defence. The irony is, obviously, that Jennifer Ringer is not fat at all. If anything, she is very thin. Not cool, man. The reason why so many people were outraged was that Jennifer had been very candid about her battle with anorexia and bulimia earlier in her career. So many felt the comment was very insensitive. The pressure on women to be thin is one thing. The pressure for ballerinas to be very thin is intense. The celebrity blogger Perez Hilton wrote, "We thought the reviewers were supposed to review the dancing, not someone's stomach. Not cool, man." The critic got so many angry responses that on December 3rd the same year, he wrote a follow-up piece defending his comments. If you want to make your appearance irrelevant to criticism, do not choose ballet as your career. Celebrate the variety. Jennifer Ringer appeared on TV where she said she didn't expect an apology. As a dancer, I do put myself out there to be criticised, and my body is part of my art form. At the same time, I'm not overweight. I do have, I guess, a more womanly body type than the stereotypical ballerina, but that's one of the wonderful things about the New York City Ballet, is that we have every body type you can imagine. We have tall, we have petite, we have athletic, we have womanly, we have waif-like. I mean, we have every body type out there, and they can all dance like crazy. They're all gorgeous. And I think dance should be more of a celebration of that, of seeing these beautiful women with these different bodies all dancing to this gorgeous music. And that's what should be celebrated. From an interview on Today's News. Raven Wilkinson. Misty Copeland has called Raven Wilkinson her mentor and that she would never have made it to where she is in the ballet world without Raven paving the way. Raven Wilkinson was hired by the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo in 1955, and she was the company's first black ballerina. She was told to use a lot of white makeup and try to blend into the crowd so she wouldn't stir up too much attention. She didn't want to give the company any grief, but she also didn't want to deny her race and who she was. Difficult to push through the racial barrier. Raven was born in Harlem, New York, in 1935, to a middle-class family. Already at the age of 9, a famous Russian dancer was training her. In spite of her talent, she was rejected a couple of times when auditioning for the Ballet Russe because she was black. She thought about giving up dancing and went to university, but she just couldn't do it. The third time she auditioned, she made it. And by the second year with the company, she was promoted to the role of a solo dancer. Racism and Ku Klux Klan. The first tour with the company went relatively fine, but with racial tension building up in the South, Wilkinson had to endure endless racism. She was banned from staying with the others on tours and sent to motels only for blacks. After several interactions with the Ku Klux Klan, it came to a point where the ballet company feared for her life and decided she wouldn't be performing. That night, locked in her hotel room, she saw a burning cross on the lawn outside her window. She decided she couldn't take it anymore. At a crossroads. Raven had always been a spiritual person, and she joined a convent for 6 months after leaving the Ballet Russe. However, she got an opportunity to join the Dutch National Ballet, and she took it. She relocated to Holland, where she stayed for 7 years. When she returned to America, she was hired by the New York City Opera, where she danced from 1974 to 1985. After that, she had occasional character roles up to the year 2011. The importance of role models. Misty Copeland has referred to Raven as her role model. As much as Misty has had to fight for her place in the ballet world, she says it's nothing compared to the racism and harassment Raven had to endure during her career. Raven fought all her life for representing black women in ballet. Now Misty has taken the torch to continue that fight. It's her hope that one day the ballet world will represent the diversity of races that are found in America. The American Dream. The ideals of freedom, equality, and opportunity traditionally held to be available to every American. To me, the American Dream is being able to follow your own personal calling. To be able to do what you want to do is incredible freedom. Maya Lin. Language bank. Predominantly. Top notch. Embodiment. Prospects. To enroll. Immense. Impression. Alien. Relentlessly. Feet. Independence. To bounce back. Qualities. Promoted. To branch out. Geography. Multiple. Reflect and connect. Discussion in class. How can you be inspired by Misty Copeland's story? Write down your thoughts regarding her difficulties as a child, her hard work, and eventually her success. What do you think about her court case against her mother? What are the differences between Misty as a black ballerina and a white ballerina? They both train extremely hard. Can you learn anything from her story that you can apply to your own life? Diary. Write a page on each of the following topics. How do you define racism? Have you heard about the KKK? Is there any racism in Iceland? Have you experienced or seen any instances of racism? Criticism. Do you think that the New York Times critic was wrong in saying that Jennifer Ringer had eaten a plum too many? Or was he justified in his criticism? Is there pressure on girls to be thin? Can you give an example of that from your own experience?